Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I bought a crinkled up Wade Boggs card once because I couldn't afford something. And I was like, I'll take that ripped card, sir.
Was the card crinkled or was Wade crinkled? So did you have like centavos laying around your house or anything like
there's,
that?
There's probably lira, pesos, centavos, you know, all kinds of broken economies, currencies are in my father's office because he dealt mostly with Latin America. So
I love the fact all of the coins that Oscar collected had holes in the middle.
Some of them are. I kid you not. What could $3,500 for your daughter's tuition to college do for her?
It would probably allow her to pay for most of her sophomore year.
See?
And then she would have time to come home and see her
this
father.
This is fantastic.
Who's crying because he doesn't have a jukebox anymore.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank God it's Friday!
Friday!
Woo! And a great guest. How you doing, Oscar? What
Excuse
was that
me.
About?
I was yelling, Friday! And I think a gnat flew into my throat.
I think there was a little bit of Thursday in your throat.
Thursday.
But today is Friday, yes. And we have a special guest joining us in studio with an exciting opportunity.
Ooh. Woo! Okay, so if you don't mind, can I get in timpani? Please enjoy this music while we hold.
No, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes, there we go. Today, Friday, August 2nd,
yes.
We have Charlie Burney.
Yeah!
Yay, Charlie!
Charlie's still wondering why, but I'm here.
Well, Charlie, outside of being co-founder of Podcast Village.
He's your partner.
You are...
I see what you did there.
You have been on the show before, so it's not your first time.
No, but this is, I think, his first featured segment.
His first featured vignette.
Exactly.
Right? So we're excited to have you. And this morning,
vignette virgin.
As Rob is putting together the show and everybody's working behind the scenes, this morning I'm online and I realize, whoa, there is a USAtoday.com story, I'm sure it's in the paper as well, of the most valuable pennies on the market today.
Pretty high praise for USA Today when you said
pennies on the market.
When you say it's also in a newspaper. USA Today technically a newspaper. Just so you know.
Not for Johnny's generation.
No. Well, you know what it is? It's the DJ Bible. It always has been. Ooh, because what it does is it takes very simple stories, simplifies them, and then assigns them a color.
Well, I found
this is a purple story.
I found it on Facebook in my feed.
It might be a green story.
I was like, okay.
And it has that easy to read graphic.
Oh, I love
in
that
the lower corner.
That's right.
No graphic on this one, fellas. Straight numbers.
Right.
And you should know that as an immigrant here, I usually don't see pennies that are older than 1973.
Right.
Or anything. Like, as a coin collector, as a younger man, I just couldn't get past the 50s.
So did you have like centavos laying around your house or anything like
there's,
that?
There's probably lira, pesos, centavos, you know, all kinds of broken economies, currencies. Are in my father's office because he dealt mostly with Latin America. So
I love the fact all of the coins that Oscar collected had holes in the middle.
Some of them are. I kid you not.
Are you sure it's not just a washer?
No, you think we have a centennial quarter that comes back with the states? No. They drilled holes in their coins. There are, and I will bring them in because I've seen them. So not all of them, but most of them.
Okay.
And I said, I don't know anybody has pennies. Why
would
article
anyone
for?
Have pennies? Right.
Who's this article for? And then I remembered just this morning I was riding in with Shannon. I said, wait a second. I think Charlie Burney still has these old school pennies.
I do.
And I was like, well,
now what
no
makes
chance
a penny
does.
Old school? Because a penny is relatively unchanged.
Okay, well, let me give you some options first before we get to them.
All right.
And then Charlie, I would ask you that you explain to us why you have these. All right. But first, let me. USA Today says that some of these pennies are worth up to $200,000, and they may be in your pocket or maybe in Studio B as we speak. Right. This is a real life treasure hunt. This is going to be
great. This is very exciting.
Okay, hunting for precious pennies. We're looking for a 1943 bronze Lincoln, right? So you're like, oh, well, what's the difference between a 1943 bronze Lincoln and an actual penny? Only a handful of these bronze pennies have been discovered, including one found in Lutz, the most valuable Lincoln cent sold privately in 2010 for $1.7 million. In order to preserve copper for the war effort, the U.S. Mint switched to making pennies from zinc-coated steel with planchets instead of using bronze coin blanks. So if it's a bronze coin blank, it won't stick to a magnet.
Okay, I
so
see.
So it goes, but some explain that at least a handful of these were supposed to not happen. So
they were like experimental pennies.
Yeah, but the
got out.
So the experimental pennies are the ones that they switched to, but the bronze pennies weren't supposed to be printed.
Because I've seen, and I think it's 1943, there's a run of pennies that are steel and they're silver, right? Yeah. And I mean they're exactly from the same thing.
So if you have a 1943 bronze Lincoln, it could be worth up to $1.7 million.
This is an exciting dive into
of the microphones we could buy.
Yeah. Numismatics. As fate would have it, some of the bronze guys got stuck in the big tote bins, and the mint used to feed the coin presses. And at the end of 1942, he said, a few bronze coins that were struck were unnoticed and got released into circulation.
I can see this happening when the machinery broke down in 1943. Some guy in Washington, D.C. yelled for the 1943 equivalent of pony and said, the coin machine is stuck.
It might have been pony.
It could have been.
That's our big guy.
Okay.
This is probably more viable. A 1969 S double die obverse. It's when you have this, what looks like a double printing.
Oh, it's stamped twice.
So it's stamped twice, so it looks like it's almost 3D. Yeah. So you have a lot of reverse and obverse. 1992 close AM reverse. So when the words are flipped over.
Well, I think what it's saying is I think the reverse is what you'd call the tail side.
Yeah, and
of
they've got pictures here so we can compare what we have.
The obverse is the heads.
And then 1972 double die obverse.
Ah, okay. So they struck twice on the head side.
Mm-hmm.
So Lincoln's head is doubly good.
And then we got a few from 1995 and 1999. But the oldest is this 1943 bronze Lincoln.
And that's what we need.
That's what we're looking for.
If we find it, we get to take the rest of the day off.
Everybody gets
Charlie,
lunch.
How old are you? You're like 55, 56, right?
I resemble that. I'm 57. Okay. Yes.
Why? So I,
you're not.
I don't think of you as a penny man, like that holds your pennies in his desk drawer.
Always hundreds. No, I haven't. I'm a dime guy. Yeah. Wait, that's wrong too. Wait.
I've seen your bag.
But so think about this. Think about, I think of rolling pennies as when I was a kid, right?
Yeah,
I know that my mom at home will still roll pennies. It's like an old pastime, but my mom's in her 70s.
It's she the buys weird printers thing. Too, I think.
Yes.
I love rolling coins.
You do?
Here's why.
Look, a throwback, an old school, I'm not shocked by.
Because, because remember, I've told you that we grew and sold vegetables, right?
Yes.
And the vegetable stand was a cash business.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a lot of coins because people would pay, try to get exact change. And so a couple times a summer, we'd have to dump
out
the cash.
You're highly motivated.
Roll the
and
coins.
And that's how you converted them into the paper money. But I tried to roll some quarters the other day, and the bank says, you don't need to roll them. Just bring them in a bag.
Coinstar.
Yeah. Well, Coinstar is for rubes. I will never. They're charging you. Coinstar is charging you a percentage for your own money.
Okay, you see, the bank will
take it. The bank, you can just bring it in a bag.
The bank will take it and not charge it.
Now, here's a good Coinstar story, though. I think you'll enjoy this.
Yes.
For many years, my mother, she's now in the Inova hospital system, but she used to run the front end of a Safeway. And that's how I got into the grocery game years ago. But one thing that was really cool, they introduced these Coinstar machines. And because the demographics of her Safeway skewed older, she would oftentimes have to teach people how to use it.
Oh.
She had worked with coins for so long that when these old people would come in with bags of coins and they'd dump them into the Coinstar thing, she swears that a quarter pre-1964, when they were made of silver,
a different clunk.
Yeah, dimes and pre-64, 50-cent pieces. In pre-1964, the coins were silver, and therefore they trade at a much higher rate. They sounded different. And so when they would dump coins into the Coinstar machine, she could listen for that sound and know when she had to go through the Coinstar and trade them out. She'd buy the coins from the Coinstar because the Coinstar, a quarter is a quarter is a quarter.
Seriously?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she got a lot of silver money that way.
Man.
Mm-hmm. So just listen, folks.
That sounds a little bit illegal, but
it's absolutely legal.
It's absolutely legal. For Coinstar?
Sure. Because it was
no, what it didn't matter. CoinStar wasn't trading on the value of the historic coin, only on the value, of the face value of the coin. Yeah. So you're making money where no money was going to be made.
Exactly.
I'm not saying she did something. I'm saying that CoinStar wouldn't they gain in the long run?
They haven't created a branch because they will never analyze the years.
Oh, no. Okay.
That would be millions of coins they'd have.
What's
to
the
analyze.
Most valuable coin you have in your coin collection?
My mom has most of the coins that are valuable because that goes actually to her father. Big Daddy was a huge coin collector. Collector going back in the day, but I do have a 1934 silver dollar that's pure silver, which is pretty cool.
I like that. Well, congratulations,
numismatics.
You can now help us with this treasure hunt.
I love coins.
Now, Charlie.
Yes, Oscar.
We've got a lot of bills to pay.
We do.
So one
Let's
of
pay
the,
it with pennies.
One of these pennies could change our lives.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Rob, you could be the guy from Pawn Stars. Chum Lee,
like a tiny micro Pawn Star.
Yeah, let me look at this, you know.
I'll verify, but so I now, would much
Charlie,
rather have been the old man.
You have to tell the story. No, Mike's the old man. You're Chum Lee.
You know what?
Right?
You are so right.
Okay.
Although I do not have a sex dungeon.
No, you don't.
As Chum Lee does.
You need to salt all these episodes with Mike references just because you know he's not going to listen.
He's definitely listening. Can you please, Charlie, set up like in Pawn Stars where you got these coins?
Yeah.
Not like this is Pod Stars. Yes. My,
welcome.
As you guys know, I'm very, very proud to have my father's desk.
Yes.
My father
in your office
really
here at Podcast
cool
Village.
Desk.
Yes.
Oscar came to me one day, Rob, and said, Charlie, let's go over to, Theodore's.
Yeah, Theodore's. Right?
And we're going to look at some expensive. That's a great name for a strip club, but it was a furniture place across the street. And we're going to get a fancy desk, maybe one that goes up and down and hovers. I don't know.
Yeah,
and
ergonomic. Then, you stand, you sit.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And then he was talking to me, and my brother and I were just getting ready to throw out everything from my father's office. And I said, oh my gosh, I could get. And I was so happy. He has this very old desk. You guys have seen it, that is slightly angled towards this sitter.
Almost
person.
Like a drafting desk.
It's not a drafting desk, but it looks like that. It's very, very funky.
It looks to me like a mid-50s to early 60s Scandinavian influenced design. It's hardwood.
Exactly what it is.
And it's ergonomic for its day.
Teak, if I know my dad. But anyway, so I was so excited to get this desk and then throwing things out, you know. You're trying to get the office empty for the next guy, and they're just, could you please get all your dad's stuff out of here? I'm throwing things, throwing all these things, staplers, paperweights, just throwing stuff away.
Letterpress stuff.
And
that was
I don't know if I ever told you this, but I literally almost threw these out.
Wow. Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Because let's look at CoinStar. This is 50 cents.
Yeah, right? I know.
Yeah.
So I have dad's rolls of pennies. From a long time ago, and I'll present them to you, Sir Spiewak, for analysis and validation. But I'll tell you, when you were talking, and Dad always knew he would never do anything with these, but he always used to tell a story. Maybe one I haven't told you. He says, a man plants an olive grove, you may know this one, Rob, right? Not for his son, but for his grandson.
Oh,
so this may
sweet.
Have been started by my grandfather. I don't know. So
could
crack
be,
it open and let's see if we got the.
I believe these were these
43.
I've never seen rolls like that on the outs.
I believe they're
Lincoln.
Professionally rolled. It looks like it because of the way it's capped at the end. Now one side is closed.
Yes,
we've opened a couple of them, but we have not opened this.
And the other side is open, and I can't see the.
Not on the air, though. I'll say that much.
They are wheatback pennies.
What's wheatback?
Meaning that now on a penny, the obverse or the reverse.
Hey, what are you saying about me?
No. Wheat.
It's not
wheat.
A wet
wheat.
Yeah,
wheat.
How dare you guys?
On the back, the reverse of a penny has the Lincoln Memorial now.
Yes.
Now on these older models, it is actually two crossed pieces of wheat.
Yeah.
And it says 1 cent on the back.
Why would they have wheat on there?
I think to show the prosperity
America's farmers.
America's waves of grain.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
The wavy fields of grain.
So with your kind permission, I will open these.
Can we have
don't be a monster about it.
No.
Be gentle.
He's going to crack open.
Okay, we're looking for 1943. Big money.
It's the penny cast.
I feel like we're rolling. Pony, we're going to be rich. Or Charlie's going to be rich.
I can't wait.
Yes.
We're
going to
be penny. Penny heirs.
Yes. A rising tide raises all boats,
yes,
Oscar.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
So not a scratcher.
Oh
Rob, you're a monster. I said don't do it that way. And it's like the one thing he does.
I just read that they're actually worth more when they're rolled up.
Oh no.
Pony.
Did you drop pennies?
One penny.
Oh my God.
It's no fun if they're rolled up, Pony.
Do you know how old these are? That these do not have Lincoln on the front.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. These have
what?
These are what is known, and I doubt this is politically correct, but in numismatic circles.
Hey, don't say that. It's a family show.
It's an Indian head penny.
Yeah.
Take no.
A look. Yeah. Look at it. You've never seen a penny that
Native
looks like
American?
This.
Yeah.
Yes. I kind of figured.
Oh my God. It says 1 cent on the back.
Yeah, because it's
so
worth,
how much is it worth?
It's worth a cent.
What's the year on that one, Oscar?
Yeah.
It'll be on the front.
Is, 1900.
Yeah. Yeah, mine is 1900 as well.
So somebody get on the computer. Hey,
Google!
Johnny, can somebody Google 1900?
These are in mint, except one is dented because Rob dropped it on the floor.
Yes, because our our floors are harder than copper.
We've got a dented penny. Anybody want it?
No, all of these, you know what? Here's
I'll give you a penny for it.
These are why these will be graded high, is that there is no outward markings on them, and the writing is not rubbed. It is all, they're in perfect shape. They could use a bit of polish.
I wasn't
because
expecting
they get dirty.
This.
No, I was not either. I was
Can
expecting
you look
Mr.
for the bronze Lincoln, or are these all Native Americans?
These are all Native American pennies.
I think they'll be all before 1940.
What?
Yeah.
It looks like a 1900 Indian head penny is worth about $1.40.
Yeah! Oh, so you're saying we got a chance.
So we're saying there is
okay.
No hope.
Let me see what else we got. Any rare finds, Pony? Any rare
I kind of had a
Saka
feeling.
Jouirs?
By the way, that means...
This may be for my great-great-great-great-great-grandson.
$70 then.
If a roll is 70 bucks?
Is worth about 70 bucks.
But no, that's
50 times
this is your conjuring 40. Here. You got to look at each penny.
You're right.
We're not going to look at all 50
Come
right
on,
now.
Go through two or three.
Yeah, give me
give
some
us
more.
A couple of more
I can
years.
Read the dates.
Okay, here you go.
All right, there we go.
I probably can't without a magnifying glass and a flashlight.
But the thing is that the raised lettering is still very clear. I mean,
1893.
Yeah, that was a good year for pennies.
Yeah.
Still the Native American on one side here. We got this... Oh, geez. 1998.
What? No, how about 1898?
I don't think it's... That would be really
that a,
good
that
trick.
That was a reproduction.
Penn and Teller would have made that happen.
He got changed buying a Justin Timberlake
1907.
CD.
Give me an 1800.
Like yeah, it looks like the 1890s ones are worth about $4.
Oh, damn!
All right, now, Pony, here's where I need your help. If they are worth more rolled, is it conceivably...
No, oh, I made that up.
He made that up.
You're a jackass.
Why would be worth more rolled?
Well, I don't know.
Who would ever say
it's like
that?
Like antique paper or something.
If you get your penny, don't take it out of the box because you'll have ruined the mint value.
All right, buddy. 1837. This is the oldest one I found.
You're kidding. 1837. That's pre-Civil War.
It feels lighter than the rest of them.
Well,
it's so weird.
People were smaller than
bucks.
$26, Oscar.
Look, feel the weight. You might not be able to notice it on your hands.
If you guys would give me those pennies back, I have someplace I need to go.
No, Oscar's right. It is lighter. I bet it's a different alloy.
No, it was.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah. And you almost threw these away. Your ticket to greatness.
I literally did almost throw them away.
I know. I'm scared
when you're
to open this roll.
Hot and sweaty and you've been
Don't
packing boxes for a few
I'm not
hours.
Going to. I'm not going to.
That's what she said.
Hey. But this is... Did you expect them to be this old?
Of course, yeah, I did.
I expected them to be like 1940s is what I expected.
No.
So, wow.
No, I pretty much was sure they've probably been in roles since before 1940.
1808.
Yeah, there you go.
This is,
Let
it
me see
felt
that.
Different. It felt different.
No, it is. It's 100% different.
Let's drop
different.
Them
oh
and
my
listen
God.
To the, let's, Rob, right. let's start dropping them and listen to
no,
the
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Rob,
he doesn't
don't
want
do
you
it.
To deface
do it.
The penny.
No, the penny will-
It cannot be damaged.
You are not a bright man. You don't know that for sure. Put it back, please.
I'm so much brighter than you'll ever be.
No, that's fine, but you don't know this
it's
for sure.
Right. Don't make Oscar mad. It's Friday.
Yes,
you know
nice
why he's
day.
Upset? Because it's money. Yeah.
Money.
That's why he gets
money.
Very
money.
Excited.
Money.
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 What do we
which
got,
starts
Pony?
With M, which stands
looking.
For
there's
the new M Street Studio.
There's a bunch of info on this one. Give me one more second here.
Oh, one more second. I love
one
it.
More.
1889. That is the 1803 penny is the lightest one I have felt.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's a different
feeling.
It's
made feeling. Out of balsa wood.
This is crazy.
Because it was more affordable back then.
It was made out of George
Civil War. Dollars were made out of wood.
1806.
Made out of George Washington's teeth.
Holy smokes.
What they were made of.
This
is some
trying
craziness.
To recycle.
Yeah. Very, very early on, he was known as
1898. Can I get some more of them while you guys?
Maybe pennies made out of scrimshaw. Yeah.
This is surreal.
It really, really
Man,
is.
I don't think my ancestors are probably still trying to figure it out.
That 1806 might be worth around $120.
Oh, come
damn.
On. Damn, Daniel.
Damn. I'm telling you, we could buy a new iPad with this.
Is that really?
What? Is that how he thinks, Rob?
That's so crazy
I've
that
heard
that's
it
real.
Said that Oscar's yes. heart
full of gadgets.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go.
It just amuses me endlessly.
My heart. I can feel like you're just like the Coinstar machine. You can feel this one.
The power is emanating from Oscar. He's starting to glow.
You might
bit.
Be in the wrong business. You yeah. might have to open a coin shop.
1888.
Oh, I love the eights.
Feel this one. This is crazy.
Can you get any from 1700?
I'm looking. Rob, so you don't have any coins of your own?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't have any. I've never collected pennies. I've got a few silver things and a few older things. I've got a couple old bills. My father loves.
You collect records.
Yeah,
you
collect records. Microphones. And my father is a collector That's of paper really money. Cool. Like, and I think it was pre-1920 when the American right. bills were bigger.
Yeah.
And they're called horse blankets.
Yeah.
That was their nickname in the collector. So that's what my dad's into.
I never did that.
Somebody walked around with a sweaty penny in their wool suit.
Mm-hmm. There's a name for the show,
in
Sweaty
1898.
Penny.
1898.
Sweaty went, penny in a wool suit.
This and is they crazy. Said,
would somebody like please.
A turn of the century pop
Weren't
song.
Suits made sweaty out of wool
penny
back then?
In a wool
suit.
Yeah, they, so are bathing suits.
What do we got?
Yeah. Thank you, Pony.
Pony, any info?
I'm sorry, Charlie distracted me. Which,
I was trying to. Sweaty penny in a wool suit is the name for a band.
1888.
Okay.
And what happened is this guy was walking the streets of Washington, D.C. with his sweaty penny saying, somebody please invent air conditioning. Please.
Or give me an ice cream cone
Something.
For crying out loud.
I'm dying over here.
Looks like it's $3, but $150 if it's in mint condition.
It's not.
I
can tell you, pursuant to that, Rob, that my father used to say that when my grandfather was a lawyer in Washington, D.C. He would come home at lunch and put his feet in a bucket of ice and then go back to work.
I can imagine.
Because they didn't have air conditioning. I mean, you were talking about a pretty hot city. It was a swamp, remember?
Sure, and built so on a swamp.
He would come home and cool off and then go back to the office. That's the way you lived.
Wow.
You know, you just did stuff.
Like I would that. Ice down my pennies.
When did they start?
Put them in my pocket.
When did they start making coins?
Well, coins go back to the Roman times.
Yeah, but real pennies. Like
Oh, well, when we,
like
when
the US
we became
mint.
A country.
Yeah, but that's I understand that, but... Does anybody really know when the first penny was actually made?
Check that out, Pony. I know that the coin. I mean, for a while, I know that
we could have the first penny.
The Coinstar machine probably came out in 1996. I can give you that.
In the beginning, I believe coins were state to state, and so there was a big deal
cheek
when
to cheek. Can I get some more pennies while you talk?
It was 1793.
Okay.
Was when we minted the first penny.
1793. So we're looking for 1793.
Can you
the real
look for that value?
Yeah.
And a buffalo nickel.
It's probably an old man with a monocle. No, that's Monopoly.
But it was a big deal when they sort of normalized and nationalized their money system.
Yeah.
And then they had to split it during the Civil War because the South had to make their own money, which proved to be worthless because it had no backing in a
I've
bank.
I've never seen any.
Really?
Yeah.
Confederate money?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It was worthless, now just for collectible purposes.
Well, I imagine Rob has a lot of it.
Think of the millions of movies that have been, the millions
I
of
never,
dollars
I always, you know,
spent on movies about Confederate gold.
It's weird. If you look at the Super Bowl, the World Series, or the Civil War, I'm always rooting for the wrong side.
You remember Risk?
Terrible.
Yeah, sure.
My brother, we would always play Risk, and he would always take the South, and he would always beat you.
1800. 1800.
No, here's what's crazy about you have to think
that's only 7 years after they started
that's
making
what I'm saying.
Pennies.
This is the beginning.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And put it into historical context.
Think of the things that penny for the last 20 years has been in my father's desk or 40 years drawer.
I believe Thomas Jefferson was alive when that penny was minted. Think about that for a while, just for a second.
This is crazy.
And
wow, that's pretty incredible.
And also,
you will get all these back, Charlie. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah,
and remember,
I'm
every roll
a close
of
inventory.
Yes.
Remember, every roll of pennies has 35 pennies in it.
Yeah.
No, it's actually 50.
Sorry.
what do we got, Pony?
Yeah. So for the 1800,
one for me,
depending
one for
on
you,
which,
two for me.
Depending on which version it is, it could be anywhere from like $20 to $500.
What version?
They said there's half cent draped bust.
There's a bunch of different.
Yeah, there's a bunch of weird stuff about half cent drape bust, whatever that means.
Does that have to do probably with, because they were minting them in different cities, so probably each city had a different spin on it.
Possibly.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Even the printing, the way they would actually emboss the coins.
Sure.
Is that the word I'm looking for?
Have an embossed birthday.
Yeah. No, is that right what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's right. They're embossed.
So.
If you struck or embossed.
Or the way they were struck, you could tell the technology was so far, like it was just early compared to your, let's say, 1900 penny.
Yeah.
Guy with a hammer. Bam.
This is crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's wild. I have never had such unfettered access to something as old, but as familiar.
Because it's not that much different.
Yeah. I really do. I feel honored, Charlie, to be able to crack that open. Thank you very much.
Well, Charlie, you let us down. No 1943 bronze nickel, but
no.
This is cool.
Somehow, I don't think I've let you down.
1811? Holy smokes.
That's so amazing.
All right, I'm going to leave these here. Okay, look, people. I can't believe you're touching them with your hands, Oscar. Gosh. I can't believe Rob dropped them on the floor. Ugh. This is what we do here on the program.
One penny.
They dropped all of them on the floor and dented them.
That's right.
But
I sucked on three of them. I think I've got tetanus, but an old strain.
You brought it back.
Yeah, I got the plague.
Wait a minute. You could call it dented penny.
Dented penny. We will get all these back to you. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you so much for sharing.
There's a couple of places. I know a place out in Rockville we could go out to one day. And I don't know if there's any places downtown where you could have a guy look at your pennies and give you values.
We also say just put pennies? Them on eBay.
Are you sure he said pennies? He look at your, because, you know, that's just one letter away from something that's a different kind of club. Just making sure.
Took me a while to figure out the name of that TV show.
1805.
1805.
Wow. Can I get 1805? Yeah.
All right. Well, that was fun. Nice. I stripped down memory lane.
Yeah. What's great is
what was going on in the 1800s in this country?
All I remember
early
is
1800s.
Nothing. It was very cold.
What do you mean nothing? When was the Boston Tea Party?
I don't know. I didn't get an invitation.
I don't.
The Tea Party was 1773, 1774. Right.
Because before we
it
had
led
like
up
a
to
few
the revolution.
Yeah, revolution. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is right after these are fresh revolution pennies.
Yeah, you could use those pennies to go buy some tea for the Tea Party and a new hat.
If you think about 1811, a company I used to work for, the brick company, was founded in 1892, and we're well over 100 years old. But that's 1811.
Wow.
Like 80 years before my company was founded. Yeah. So
do you think you're
a long time ago?
We're looking at stuff that's 200 years old.
That's
with
right.
These hands. These hands.
I know.
I took a shower this morning, so I'm happy to say that.
Oh, they're clean hands.
Did take a shower.
Yeah, okay.
Well, congratulations, Charlie. Oscar and I not benefiting.
Yeah. All right. You got to get me out of here. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you, Charlie.
Woo!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Now, Mark is going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena this Sunday. And in addition to Mark being a comic, he is also the host of a popular podcast.
Oh, hold on. There is no such thing as a popular podcast.
Ooh, zing. Sorry, but actually I got a pretty good listener base and, I used to do radio, but I prefer podcasting, a lot more freedom.
Oh, so you prefer not to make money?
That's like me preferring to have a small penis. Oh, by the way, if you do have a small penis, you might be eligible to see Miley Cyrus in our contest. Teeny Weeny Miley Go. You can see the website for details.
Yeah, I'd take a pay cut not to have to say that. Do you think anybody is entertained by this? Maybe before there were choices, but you're losing listeners every day. This isn't interesting. It's not engaging. This is a hostage situation for people who don't have a smartphone. And your format restrictions are ridiculous. Why do you feel compelled to give out the time every 5 minutes? All cars have the time. All computer screens have the time on them. There are clocks everywhere. Yet with OCD-like precision, you are compelled to always give out the time. It's horrendous.
It's 8:25.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, here's Rob.
I only dropped one. And I did look on the floor to make sure. What's happening? It's like handing someone says, can you hold this? Okay, I'll hold it. It's a Ming vase. Don't drop it. Oh, okay. Live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is The Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS. From Stormstown, Pennsylvania, to Salem, Ohio, from Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina, to Big Bottom, Washington, and from Kanazawa, Japan, to California, Maryland. TMOS is on the air, so let's get started. A service of our friends at Cornerstone. You know what? Not everyone is blessed to have a drawer full of million-dollar pennies.
Mm-mm.
And you need sometimes to re-examine what's going on financially.
Pennies.
And it's a great time to do it. Ben Franklin said, count the pennies, and the dollars will count themselves.
I'm still wondering what happened in 1800.
I know. Well, Mike was on his second marriage. Mortgage rates are still low, low, low. And that means it's a perfect time to call Cornerstone First Financial. Yeah, low rates, baby! And Cornerstone can save you big bucks. So whether you're buying a house, a car, refinancing, or just want to get a little cash in your hand to make it a great summer, you've got to act right now while the market is still on your side. Call Cornerstone. Do it. Do it, 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 do it. Here's the best part. The folks at Cornerstone First Financial are TMOS listeners just like you. So if you don't understand the intricacies of high finance, it's no sweat. They do, and they'll take care of you. I've seen it happen. Trust the friends of TMOS. Remember, these rates are poised to go even lower, so you've got to get the ball rolling right now. Soon, you know, the sooner the better. You start saving money now. Cornerstone is licensed in California, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website. Visit cornerstonefirst.com or call them at 866-625-1221. That is 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. Mm. Now, here's what I have never seen you so excited about something old. You're about stuff that's new. I'm an old thing guy, so you probably...
Old stuff can buy new stuff.
See, that's what's so crazy. You are That's
I'm like, oh, that's an iPad.
You're into the conversion factor.
Well, this is the way I look. In full transparency,
yes.
And you can attest to this, when we were in between breaks and the opening of the show, I said, Charlie didn't get all these back, and I said... I really, in my heart, it means to me, like, even if these are worth like $100, right?
Yeah.
He should just save these for his kids. The idea that.
My thought on it is this.
Or his kids' kids.
And there are certain people, principles in my life that have encouraged me to sell some of the things I have. Because I've bought things that have appreciated. I'm getting older. My jukebox is worth more than when I paid for it. My microphones have doubled in value since I bought them. Mm-hmm. And she says we should sell them.
Yes.
And it's like, if it's not going to be transformative income, I'm saying if it's under like $1,000, mm-hmm. or I mean even $5,000. $5,000 would be nice to have, but it's not going to change our lifestyle.
Okay.
And so I don't see any reason, and that's where I see these pennies. This is a nice thing to have that's going to continue to appreciate, and what a lovely keepsake for Charlie's kids and their kids ultimately to say, these were my great-great-grandfather's coins.
So I agree with your wife. Everything.
I didn't say it was her. It's very careful.
Because $5,000 is transformative, and that would change a lot of people's life. I'm saying are worth $100, then that's not that big a deal.
But what I'm saying is this, that $5,000 is not a one-time influx of $5,000 is not going to change overall the style of the way you live.
Okay, yeah, it depends. It all depends on the situation.
I guess it is. Okay.
It is. I think you're probably, this is the way I look at it. You are probably not the best person to think about like what an impact certain dollars can make.
You're right.
Yes, because you look at money in a different way. Not because you're wealthy. It's because you just don't manage the money.
I can speak to my feelings though.
It's priceless, the idea to you that you could leave something to your kids.
Right.
And that's priceless to you.
And so I have certain tangible objects. It's probably not a healthy relationship I have with them.
That's what I wanted to clarify. A lot of people have an emotional connection to certain collector's items that they have because they're collector's
items. But they're things that when I see, they mean a lot to me. They might have belonged to someone before me that I know, something that brings me great joy or something that I've restored myself.
And different value monetary-wise.
Right, you have to put a price on that.
Because, I guess maybe I'm passionate about this because I'm going through this with my mom, where there's a bunch.
You can't put a price on a mother.
There's a bunch of stuff we're trying to get rid of. Not the new QVC stuff she gets in.
But to be clear, you're not getting rid of her.
No.
Okay.
And she has this emotional connection. And it's not that she's on the brink of being on Hoarders, but.
What is she connected to? What are the things that she's connected to that surprise you?
It's this like old furniture we brought from Bolivia.
See, I can understand that.
But my brother is in Boston.
Right.
My sister is in Los Angeles.
Right.
I don't have room for furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So she always thinks that someone else is going to be able to use it.
I see.
So the value for her is like, you won't have to buy this because I have it.
But she's going to hold on to it until the end and then you get it?
Well, I don't want it.
I know.
We want to start getting that out now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this wonderful service that's on an advertiser here on the show that you can send stuff to storage.
Right.
Right? So I said, look, I'm just saying you don't need it in the house. You need it somewhere else.
You're making her do the baby steps.
Yes, because, look, she's not on the brink of hoarders again, but I know where this is all going to fall to when she has to move somewhere, or God willing, we can move her into an in-law suite if we ever have that growing up, or she moves to Boston or Los Angeles. That onus comes on me.
Because
nobody else is here, so I want to get ahead of this.
You have a geographical disadvantage.
Yes, which I'm fine. I want to help my mom out.
Sure.
But we have this conversation on a regular basis where I'm like, Mom, you got to... But then she's like, that's worth X amount of dollars. I'm like, Mom, you could use that money for whatever you want.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is yours now.
Right.
Like, so the, I guess the mindset of saying, oh, if it's not going to be transformative dollars,
right,
it all depends on what you're going to do with that money.
And I think that is tempered with the fact if you put a value on its sentimental attachment.
Yes.
I mean, I got things that if I lost them, I wouldn't care. You know,
because what's the adage? It's only worth what someone will pay.
That's precisely right.
So you said that you bought a handful of microphones before, I guess, this microphone boom.
Yeah, it was. That's a good pun, by the way. Yeah. At the onset of eBay.
Okay.
And there was people just trying to get rid of stuff.
Because they didn't know any better.
They didn't know. But then, you know what? People get smarter and people get smarter. And I got lucky on a couple purchases. And I've got a lovely collection that is worth a lot more than what I paid for.
What about the jukebox?
The jukebox I got on a very lucky deal. Now, a jukebox is a funny thing because they're almost impossible to transport, incredibly heavy, lots of glass, and lots of delicate machinery inside.
How did you transport it?
I had to jump because it was being sold that day. I did a quick internet search on how to lock down the mechanism, and I...
So if you can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, but I could do it, but I would not be comfortable shipping it like across the country.
No, but they would pay for a professional to come and create it and move it along.
It is sellable. It is sellable.
Yes.
Yeah. But
see how many roadblocks you put up before you even got to the point of maybe I would sell. You're like, it's hard to sell. No, there are companies, and I know this. I've learned this. I would imagine in the past 5 years when we buy things over not overseas, but across the country.
Right.
You can pay companies to go create something professionally,
insure
it, and pull it out.
Yes. But that is not, but it's also not like selling a book that you just drop into a priority mailbox and say. So there's more involved.
How much could you get for your jukebox right now on the open market?
I would say probably $15,000 to $2,000. And I paid, I think,
$1,500 to $2,000?
Yeah. And I think I paid about $700 for it.
Why didn't you make it seem like it was a $15,000 jukebox?
I didn't seem anything of the sight.
Bonnie, didn't you think it was going to be...
Yeah, I mean, it would probably cost that much just to ship it.
No one's going to buy that thing!
No, someone would love to have it. And
who?
Someone who appreciates beauty and music and classic American design.
Your treasures are not treasures.
They're treasures to me.
That's true.
That for example, true. There are people that value you greatly.
No, they don't. People hate me. It's fine.
Well, that's true, too.
Look, but $1,700 to $2,000.
Again, it's worth what someone would pay for it.
Okay, now I understand what you're talking about. Because if you say, if you're like, well, Carrie, if we sold the jukebox, it's $2,000. I'll be miserable.
Yeah.
My happiness is worth more than $2,000.
Well, it depends on who you ask. But to me, yes, my happiness is worth more than $2,000.
That's the root of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it is something that I keep it on all the time because it glows with lovely light. And that's the first thing I see when I come downstairs in the morning. It means the world
totally
to me.
Totally get that.
Right.
I was under the impression, per your early line of...
But I do... You know what? Let me see if one is listed now. I'll see what it's at.
My line... I thought you bought this thing for like $1,000 and it was worth $15,000. And I was like, whoa.
It does have a small... It has an appreciative value. And here's why. And this is a little bit in the weeds, so I'll keep it very brief.
No, there are people listening right now that are cursing me and rooting for you. So let's figure that out.
Here's the my jukebox. The brand is a Wurlitzer.
Wurlitzer.
A great, great company that made jukeboxes.
Used to break... there aren't that many because they used to trash the ones.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's the story is the fact that it was such a valuable commodity. People wouldn't buy new ones because they were afraid their competitors would grab the old ones. It would make people go to their bar or restaurant or whatever. So Wurlitzer offered the service, buy a new jukebox. We will, in your presence, destroy your jukebox for you so no one else can have it. The reason that mine existed is that mine was not in a tavern or a bar. Mine lived in a record store for its early life. So it stayed around. And it wasn't around cigarette smoke. No beer was spilled in it because it was in a record store. So for something that is a 1960, making 57 years old.
Yeah, let's say mint condition. You look that up.
All right, I am. All right,
I will pad here.
Okay, thank you.
The most valuable collectible I have is a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, Upper Deck, 1989, and it might be worth $70. And I'll say that when I bought it for $50 22 years ago,
right?
I think at a cards shop, House of Cards, Wheaton, Maryland. They gouged me.
It was owned by Kevin Spacey, wasn't it?
I bought it for probably $50, thinking, oh, this is going to be $120.
Mm.
It may be more than that. But I really didn't realize that there were so many of these, and the bottom was going to fall out like a stock market crash of the Beckett Monthly, where you get all your pricing.
Right.
That to this day, I have so many cards in my parents' old home, yes, in my bedroom, that I sit there, I'm like, ah. So many hours wasted.
Well, yeah, but
so many card shows.
But you loved it.
I bought a crinkled up Wade Boggs card once because I couldn't afford something. And I was like, I'll take that rip card, sir.
Was the card crinkled or was Wade crinkled?
Wade was look, it was Wade as a Red Sox and not a Yankee.
Right.
I just remember seeing it. And I was like, man, that one's worth like $150 at that point.
Right.
Mint condition. This one's torn. I'll buy it for $40. Yeah. What a dummy.
Like somehow you're going to be able to restore it?
Oh, God.
No chance. No chance.
So upsetting.
And
so upsetting.
You know what? And that person, I tell you what, there is a beauty to that story. Whoever sold that card had a great day.
Well, it's always these. I just remember going up there and just being a little kid, because my dad would take me to these card shops,
mm-hmm,
or card shows, and he would sit outside the card show because it's too cheap to pay to go in. So he would be in the lobby reading the Washington Post.
So that's fun.
And then I have to ferry myself in there. Hopefully, as my mom would say, no dejen que toquen tu cosita. Don't let them touch your thingy.
That's right.
So I'm a little kid, walk around my little short shorts, and like tank top, wheeling and dealing with these grown men. They're taking advantage of me left and right. And then I'd run outside.
That's what happens when you go to House of Cards owned, yeah, by Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd make these deals.
Right.
Not in flesh, but for dollars.
Deals in flesh.
And I'd scurry out to the front of the card show and be like, hey, Dad, I need $22 for this card. I give him the value proposition and say, this is why I think this is a good deal. Then I'd be like, and then I want to buy this as a set of 1987 Donruss cards, if that's possible.
I hated Donruss cards.
Yeah,
tops.
Rube cards. And then I'd laid it all out and be like, okay. And then after all that pitch, like a TED talk, he would say, now pick one and tell me why that one's better than the other deals. And then I'd sit there and then
Dad!
I'd have to tell him why that. And then by the time I get back, the man I just made a deal with 30 minutes ago was like, what? I'm like, oh no, remember we talked about this?
We're packing up,
yeah,
kid.
Yeah. He's like, all right, cash credit. I was like, I got my dad's credit card, and his eyes would light up.
Sure.
And that would be it.
So we're looking, actually, I lowballed it, $3,500 to $4,000. And that's, and those are ones that are selling at $35 that don't look as good as mine. So.
What could $3,500 for your daughter's tuition to college,
mm-hmm,
do for her?
It would probably allow her to pay for most of her sophomore year.
See?
And then she would have time to come home and see her father.
This is fantastic.
Who's crying because he doesn't have a jukebox anymore. Sad.
It depends.
Sad.
It depends.
It does depend.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, love my jukebox. I wonder how much it's going to be worth in 10 years when I still have it. Take a break. You know, these are questions about being an adult.
Yes.
Let's explore that when we return. All right. It's Perfect. The Mike O'Mara Show right here. We're back in a sec.
It's official. We're in the dog days of summer.
Whoa.
However, the weather will soon change, and thoughts will turn to the holidays and fruitcakes. Place your order now for this delectable holiday favorite, culled from a traditional Spiewak family recipe, with two great ways to purchase. The Deluxe Plan and the Super Premium Fruitcake Plan, complete with a hand-signed card and a special one-of-a-kind collectible. Click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com and order today. But you better hurry! TMOS Fruitcake Futures, the perfect way to share your love of TMOS with those you love.
Thank you, Jimmy. Fruitcakes, yeah, are good, but let's look at what we got to focus on right now.
Okay.
Las Vegas. There's not many tickets left, and there's something very special going on Saturday night, November 16th. You're going to want to be a part of it because you're going to have to spend a year of people saying, you should have been there.
Mm-hmm.
You should have been there. Mm. Keep in mind, this is totally different than the show that we're doing on,
yes,
Friday night. And if you're in Vegas, you should come see both.
Yeah, I would say.
I would say get a lozenge and buy a ticket.
You get on this, people.
Yes.
And look, this thing's going to sell out. I'm not.
Of course.
It's effing August.
I've got a
second.
I've got a funny feeling about this
November
weekend.
That's
as a matter
soft
of fact, yeah,
yeah,
sure,
get on it.
So yeah, it's Saturday, November 16th is a totally new show. These tickets are on sale even as we speak. So buy these tickets, and bring back the Dick Queasy t-shirt.
Let's do it.
This is the important thing. The TMOS 10th Anniversary Spectacular, brought to you by our friends at Zappos. Love you, Zappos. Buy your tickets now. We do appreciate it. So do you feel all the time like you're a grown-up? We're just talking about some real grown-up decisions.
Well, yes and no. When we're on the show or I'm working on Big O and Dukes, no.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we, in a weird way, are rewarded for just living our life like this Peter Pan lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly.
Running a business when we're working on the business here or Big O and Dukes or at Podcast Village, I feel like an adult.
Okay.
Because there are decisions that need to be made. There are repercussions and I guess outcomes that you can't control. So you carry that stress around and hope for the best.
A new survey found the average guy, and I agree with you. Yes. I think there are times that I have to really just shake my head and realize, wow, I'm forced to make decisions that matter.
You have kids.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I think that should help you make an adult.
It does help. It does help, but I'll tell you this, is that there are times that you're hanging out with your kids, and as they get older, and you feel like the years between your mental sort of state has decreased. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm watching something goofy on television with Robert, and I say, he's my buddy, and we're watching this, and we're laughing at the same thing, I say, yeah, but I'm his dad, you know, and I have
weird.
To be. Yeah, it is. It's very, very weird.
You can't
weird.
Be his friend.
No, you can't.
They'll take advantage of you.
That's true, and it has. A new survey found the average guy feels like an adult at age. You want to guess?
Yes.
Yes.
Average man, 34.
26 is the answer we're looking for there, 20 down. Ooh. And for a woman, it's age 23. Now, the top signs that people feel that they are an adult are these. And
Fully formed.
Like
like Dahlia at 19.
Exactly. And that is a new show on MTV that I would watch. Dahlia at 19. and she's traveling today, so bon voyage.
Yes, ciao, ciao.
Having a budget makes you feel like an adult.
A budget? I feel like I've always had a budget.
Well, I mean, I think a budget beyond the fact that you're going to spend till you don't have any more money, and then you don't have any money, and that's your budget.
But isn't that what allowance is when you're kids?
It teaches you that. It should teach
you're
you
like,
that.
Here's $20, make it last, or you're boned.
Right, true. Buying a house will make you feel like a grown-up.
Oh, that's terrible.
It was the worst experience for me.
Now, I had a great experience buying the home. Because the first home I was able, my look, I've had a leg up in life. Thank you, Papa Santana. So he helped me buy.
Tell me which house you want and why it is the
first
best one.
My first condo.
Yes,
and that was a great experience.
And that was the one here in DC, right?
Yeah, and I remember going and signing the paperwork with him, and I felt I didn't really feel like a man. I just was more of like a rite of passage.
I have to agree, that is a really good way to encapsulate it. I did not like looking for a house because it's just so frustrating. I felt like a target many of the times when they're saying, well, this is good because of this, and this is good because of this, and you're going to love this. I said, well, don't tell me what I'm going to love because I don't love it, but they're telling me all this. And then it was such a machine of the signing of the papers.
Well, you don't like any of that.
But the whole point is they were so methodical and fast about it. I had half the time didn't know what I was signing.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was pointless at this point to fight back. And I just went through it going on the good hope that these guys know what they're doing and they're not going to bone me out of anything.
Yes.
And they didn't. But the whole buying a house thing was frustrating. And I love my house now and it's great. But I remember going to work. We did it. That was when we were doing afternoons at WJFK. And I
came stressful
in,
time as
and,
it is.
And I went into Mike's office for the pre-show meeting and we're doing all this stuff. He says, are you okay? You just bought a house. You should be on cloud nine.
Yeah.
I said, the whole thing sucked. You should be happy.
The most I've ever felt like an adult, and I'm just being real now, is when you are onboarding somebody, like that's recently here at Podcast Village.
Sure.
And you literally have to lay out, it's almost like being, so you're the boss, right?
Yeah.
The boss here at Mike's and Bode is more like a controlled like family where everybody has expectations. We all are responsible for X, Y, and Z.
Sure.
We move on. But when you're hiring somebody that has no context on who you are or what you do, they're looking at you like, you will make or break my life in these first few years.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, that's a responsibility, at least the way I look at it, is like they are trusting you to guide this ship and your business partner and everybody here that we are on the right path.
It is so true. I'm one of the things when I interview interns,
yes,
and I see them come in here and they are starry-eyed, mm-hmm, because they're seeing something that is really a beautiful, impressive facility, something they've never seen before. I was talking to Dahlia yesterday because she's cutting out, and yeah, I wanted to thank her for, you know, all the yes stuff she did. And she said, you know, when I first came in here, I thought you ran the whole operation. I said, boy, you've learned better than that.
I snowballed you.
If there was one thing you could take away from your internship is you learned that Rob doesn't run the whole thing.
You run stuff, but you like fun as well.
I do. Yes. And but it is,
which is a nice.
You do feel like a grown-up when you're interviewing somebody. That is a very good point. Other things that make you feel like a grown-up: working on your credit score, investing in a 401k, doing your own taxes. Mm. All these are huge.
I probably told you I consolidated all my I fought my way through. I bankrolled my own, I guess, way through building a career in radio with credit cards.
Yes.
And I remember having to consolidate all my credit cards into one lump sum, which basically freezes your credit for 6 years and you have to rebuild it.
Right.
When we finally,
it's a belt tightening, but a smart
when
move.
When we got a first gig when I was 26, 27, real radio show.
Right.
A real salary. Well, real as in like whatever they were going to give us.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I got to lock this down. And it wasn't me that did it. My brother, of all people, said, get this under control. You've been bankrolling all these 20-hour, working 80-hour weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get out of this. And that was also not an adult moment, but like, oh,
it is.
This is a hard lesson to learn.
It is a step towards being an adult.
To this day.
Yeah.
I'm so scared of credit card debt. Like people, you wonder like why I haven't bought a new car, why my house still has
Oscar still keeps me up at night.
Yeah, well, why I only
would no, he please
why
buy
I don't
car
have a stove, right?
Right. That actually yeah that's a lot more
yeah
troubling.
Yeah, well, I would look. There is stuff that you just can't willy nilly right just write off and mm-hmm write a big check for, but I don't like the idea of having so much debt,
right,
that any like bad turn could change your life. Because like when you have to consolidate your credit, which we all do once in a while, you're like, it's a reset button you don't want to have to hit multiple times.
You're so right. And you know, that's funny. That is
scary.
Something that you and I share. We don't have a lot that we have in yes common, but we did have to creatively bankroll our way into the business because it was funny. It's almost
they didn't
like
pay you. I didn't get paid for 2 years.
It's almost like CBS didn't want to pay me. And then I really realized they didn't want to pay me when they fired me. That was the final straw.
They kept you on for that last deliverable.
That's true.
Can you come, come in?
Yeah, Friday. It's 4:30. You got time? Sure, Chris. You know, I felt like a grown-up when I hired Chris Kynard as
there
an intern.
Go. Then he fired
me. And then he fired me. End of story. A little more adulting when we come back.
Yes.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. She's got a ticket to ride.
She's got a ticket. Oh, Molly. TMOS Live. 10th Anniversary Spectacular. At the Zappos Council Chambers Theater on November 15th and 16th. UP1 sold out the first show, but the second show still has a few tickets left. And in case you've been living under a rock, both shows are going to be completely different from each other. So that means you need to go to both of them. So do your Paizan Paulie a favor, head over to the MikeOmaraShow.com yes website and buy the tickets. Let's sell this out, because Mike has enough odds that are in his life already. Capisce? Grazie mille grazie. Back to you, Mike.
I'm not Mike.
Ah, yeah. You're Rob.
Don't you know me by now, Paizan?
Actually, what should happen is we should give everybody a good heads up, like a concert calendar.
Yes.
Of when Mike's going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can refer to their promos, have A and B version.
I'd love that.
Yes.
One with a green dot, one with a red dot. And we need some
now back to you, Rob.
Now we need cart machines in here, Phony. Oscar,
I don't know what that is.
You talk and talk, and I've heard all of your excuses.
Flap my gums.
Yeah, there you go. You say, I'd work out more often, but it's inconvenient.
I'm back, baby. I'm back.
I know why you're back.
Why am I back?
Because of the convenience of Beachbody on Demand. So great, right?
You can do it anywhere. I did it last night after 9 p.m. here at the office, said, I got to work out. Let's get this over with.
Beachbody On Demand is an easy-to-use streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts you can do from the comfort of your living room 24/7. This is the company behind P90X, Insanity, the 21-Day Fix, T25, Brazil Butt Lift, Pi Yo, Hip Hop Abs, 3-Week Yoga Retreat, and you can try it absolutely free. What's stopping you? New programs are being added all the time. You know who's great?
Who?
Is Autumn Calabrese, because not only does she teach you how to work out, she teaches portion control, probably the smartest thing for losing weight. It's fascinating. Hundreds of workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding to weight training to cardio to yoga, even dance workouts that you can access on any smart device. I know that Oscar loves it.
I love it.
He loves it.
I love it.
Quote him. I really want you to try this service because it will make you feel better inside and out. I promise. Our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text TMOS to 303030. That's access to the entire platform for free. All the workouts, nutrition information, and support totally free. Listen to me again. Just text TMOS to 303030. See, Joe Biden, that's how you do it.
Yeah, 30-30-30. Please get on that. Just briefly here. Oh, by the way, thank you for the fat shaming yesterday, sir. Even though I had an injury, I still had gained weight. Made me run. Made me run and work out yesterday. In the office, then went for a run.
Was anyone chasing you?
No.
They say, he's got the pennies. Get him.
No. I pulled up quickly because there's an 1800 penny in my hand.
Okay.
And I said, what happened in the U.S.? Why don't I know more about 1800?
Oh, so this is Oscar's history lesson.
Yes. The U.S. Capitol has moved from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C.
Which is a great move because I would hate to have to drive to Philly every day to do the podcast.
All about you. U.S. Congress meets in Washington, D.C. for the first time. 1800. This sweaty penny.
Studio. You could build a studio at the top of the Rocky Steps.
This 1800 penny.
Yes.
Was around the year, was minted the year this happened.
It might have been used to bribe a congressman.
Thomas Jefferson is inaugurated as the third president in Washington, D.C.
I was right. Jefferson. T.J. was alive. He's a great guy, T.J.
We had an 1803 penny.
Mm-hmm.
1803 was the year of the Louisiana Purchase.
And they paid for it
in pennies.
Thank you for the punctuation, Pony. You really made the joke work.
1804, Lewis and Clark set out St. Louis, Missouri on the expedition to explore the West and find the route to the Pacific Ocean. 1805, Jefferson's second inauguration happened.
I was so glad he got reelected.
James Madison is inaugurated as the fourth president, 1809. I think these...
You know, James Madison is the father of the Constitution.
I think these pennies are worth more than what our research center.
A cursory internet search? I bet they are.
Oh really? Can you search on the internet bad attitude? See what the first hit is over there, computer
Johnny,
boy.
What say you?
About the pennies?
Yes.
Do
they excite you?
Why? Because, you know...
He likes Abraham Lincoln.
And you... Hold on a second, Johnny. Are you chewing gum?
I like to chew gum, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, turn off his mic, please.
He likes to chew gum. He likes to yawn.
I took the gum out.
101, you don't chew gum while you talk to your friends on the phone or on the radio.
I didn't realize we were friends, but okay.
Okay, what's the story?
Yeah.
A story about pennies?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the pennies? We might have to edit this out of the show.
Oh, no, what we need to do is we need to extend it.
No, I mean, I was really excited thinking we'd find one of those like $10,000 ones.
Mm-hmm. And you were going to slide
one in my pocket.
You'd benefit from that, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm going to Sweet Green. Just got this penny. I love working here. Hey, while we've got
How
him,
many vape pens could we buy for Johnny with these pennies?
Pony, I'm sorry, Oscar.
Yes.
We're talking about adulting. There's a few other things on
to the list.
I love the fact that Johnny's with us, and I have something that we're not going to get to today. We'll have to do it on Monday that features Johnny. So go ahead, if you have a chance over the weekend, shoot me to stop it from happening. Hmm. But as far as being an adult, I want to ask, these are a little less grown up and a little more just transitory things.
Okay.
I want to ask Johnny about. Johnny, you feel like an adult. Do you do your own laundry?
Yes, I do my own laundry.
How often?
Not at home, though, only because I'm at college.
I see. So at home, mom would do it?
Yes.
That's nice. Do you have regular doctor's visits to take care of yourself?
I should.
All right, don't be a jackass when you answer.
Yeah, once a year, like your physical.
Yeah, of course.
But I go to a pediatrician still.
He should. It's fine. He's not fully
formed yet. She's comfortable.
Yet.
I trust her.
Well, you know, I have to... That's weird.
I think you can go to your peds doctor till like you're 25.
Actually, I have to tell this as a true story. Yes. I had to get shots before I went to college, and mm-hmm. I hadn't a regular doctor since my pediatrician hadn't been in a year. So I remember being accepted to a university, going into a doctor's office to get my shots, and the doctor saying, "Hop up here, Tiger." I was 6'2". Tiger my ass. Do you shop using a grocery store list, Johnny?
No, I go in hungry and I leave.
Okay, do you cook dinner most nights?
No, I use Postmates.
Do you watch the news?
On Twitter.
Okay, and this is one I'm genuinely horrified to ask this. Do you change your bed sheets regularly?
I do, yes. Because growing up, I always did, and my mom always ragged on me.
And then...
Why would she rag on you for being clean?
Well, I'd be scared if I wasn't clean, she'd rag on me. And then tell my friends, like, oh, your buddy's got a dirty bed.
And I think we know what happened.
What were they doing in your bed?
No further questions. You see
what would happen, Pony, is his crew would come over and he'd say, hop up here, Tiger. We come back.
You having that sleepover? That bed's dirty from last time they had a sleepover.
Mom, I'm locking the door. We're going to take a break. You're a fully formed adult.
What's,
congrats.
What's the... Oh. Have you played Tummy Sticks? Is that what you used to ask?
What's so good is you so rarely do an impression, but when you do, they're choice. Tummy Sticks. We come back. We're going to do some Oscarazzi.
He's going to kill us.
Yeah. Lock this door. Yeah. We're back after this. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, I'm Ina Garten.
Hi.
My favorite podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show, is incredibly funny. But sometimes when I want to listen, my hands are full. Literally. It's not easy to download a podcast with a fistful of roasted eggplant spread covered with a reduced garlic aioli. Or if you're 10 little piggies or cradling a standing rib roast with a crispy Gruyere Yorkshire pudding. That's why when I'm in the Barefoot Contessa kitchens, I rely on Alexa. How easy is that? All I have to say is, hey, Alexa. Play the Mike O'Mara Show, and the most recent episode plays right away. How easy is that? Even Jeffrey can do it, and I actually really hate him. In fact, we really hate each other. It's like being married to a hobbit. How tragic is that? TMOS and Alexa, they go together like little thin slices of salami and caper berry. Now back to my custard.
Oh, Ina's custard. Delicious. Folks! Each and every week, you listen to The Mike O'Mara Show, five magnificent 80-minute episodes packed with entertainment, and you say you want more. Do you want more, Oscar?
Yes.
We provide you with more with the thing called the TMOS Bonus Show, a sixth episode every week that is ad-free, commercial-free, unrestricted,
unfettered,
and unbelievably great. That was good. We did that.
Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, you want to check it out. All you got to do is go to our website, MikeOmarishow.com, and click the banner and get this thing. It is a small fee. Pennies a day gets you the extra TMOS that you so richly deserve. And besides, you're supporting the show. And that's what's awesome. You know what? If you try to support like public TV, what are you going to get? A handbag? No thanks. What we're giving you is a brand new show every week. And who knows? If you're good... Maybe a handbag. No promises. So get your TMOS bonus show. Subscribe today at MikeOmaraShow.com. We certainly appreciate it. And now, because it is that time of day, we have Oscarazzi, in which Oscar goes out of his way, gets away from the money stories, the penny stories, and brings you what's hot to talk about. Oscar.
Well, this next flick is going to make all the pennies. I knocked over the stack of pennies.
Oh, no, that's bad luck.
Probably heard that on there. look, this weekend, big weekend for you Fast and Furious fans. Hobbs and Shaw, and they make it very clear that Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Now, this is a movie about a kid and his toy tiger comes alive when he's alone with him, right?
Oh, no, it's The Rock is Hobbs and Jason Statham is Shaw.
Okay.
If you haven't seen any of the Fast and Furious movies, these guys already hate each other. The backstory is convoluted, doesn't make sense.
Sort of a salt and pepper, oil and water buddy picture.
The idea that they've made this film is, I think, fun for people in the franchise.
Right.
The idea that it's going to do as well as all the like blockbuster non-spinoff shows.
Right.
I don't know if that's the case, but I could be wrong because The Rock, while he's made like two
amazing,
or three duds,
amazing quality.
The rest of them, everybody wants to see it. But this is what's going to be fascinating because they're already filming the newest Fast and Furious film. This spinoff is really going to set the tone for the rest of the I guess, legacy or the runway for these franchises. If they can get away with this,
right,
they can do it with other characters.
So this is almost testing the waters. Now, I have a question for you because you like the Fast and the Furious franchise. I've seen the movies. They're formulaic. They're very entertaining. You're never going to be bored watching one. But do you feel that this is kind of like when they released the movie Solo, which is like in the Star Wars universe, but not one of the trilogy pictures?
That's a great analogy. And yes, so that's exactly what it is.
So they're really going a little deeper to the audience.
So it's not an origin story, right, but it doesn't have the star power that you could collectively bank on. But The Rock and Jason Statham together, I think that's something. Well, I don't know if it's $1 billion
film. You know what it is? Though. It's a very sexy proposition.
Will I see it? Yes.
Of course you will.
Yes, I will see it. I have to...
You prioritize it against the Tarantino movie?
Yes.
Oh, so this one first.
Well, I think I got to watch a Tarantino movie just because I feel like you need to experience that in the theater.
Well, I would think this would be more of an important theater experience.
This would be an easy sell because I can easily take my wife to it and say, hell, turn off your any reality concepts you have, turn those off because there'll be a sub, there'll be cars racing on ice, there'll be a tower-to-tower jump with your car.
You think there'll be cars in this movie?
Yeah, there better be.
Yeah, fast cars?
And they've got a superhero aspect in this where the villain they're fighting is a human that's become a superhero.
So it's based on fact.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. I hope you do go see it because I know that actually you're right on the cusp of probably their target audience.
I'm holding on tight.
Yeah, I'm curious. You know what? I'm genuinely curious as a showbiz outsider looking in how it does this weekend because it is sort of a new genre. It's a
subgenre. It's also a tentpole. It's a tentpole title with this subgenre now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I think it's going to do well. Is it going to break a billion? It will have the success of the overall film, Fast and Furious Collective. I'm not sure.
But I don't know if they're asking too much, but what I would like to see is if they could do like the Lion King movie and animate lions driving cars.
Now I'm watching. Speaking of cars,
I like to be silly.
This latest list finally came out. The most frequently stolen vehicles of 2016 to 2018. Of 2016 and on since 2016.
Is number one Pony's car? It just says Matthew Bloom's car.
I will give you. I'll give you the top 10 briefly.
Okay. All right.
So this is the most frequently stolen vehicle.
All right. Number one or number 10?
No, I go at 10.
Excellent.
Mercedes-Benz S-Class four-door long-wheeled. That's a $100,000 vehicle.
S and S-Class stands for stolen.
Nine, Chrysler 300 four-wheel drive. You had one of those.
Yes, and I didn't have it stolen. I had it explode.
Yes. Number eight, Chevy Silverado. I could see that happening. Sure. 1500 crew cab. Number seven, Nissan Maxima. Number six, Dodge Challenger.
Uh-huh.
We've got number five, GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab. Number four, Xfinity QX80. Xfinity's cable. Dummy. Infiniti QX80.
The problem with if you get the Xfinity car is when you take it in for service, they say, someone will be with you shortly.
Number three.
Your call is important to us.
Infiniti QX50 four-door. Number two, this is what's great, and Mike O'Meara, I hope you're listening. The Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat is number two. And number one, with a bullet, is the Dodge Charger Hemi.
Both cars that Mike has considered. Maybe he should just go steal it.
Why? I mean, they're beautiful cars. They're probably easy to steal.
You know,
that's the only thing I can think of.
How about this? They are probably similar. There were three Dodges on the list, right? Are they easy to part out? Because I think Dodge and Chrysler have similar chassis.
So any chop shop will take it.
Yeah, I would think that might be somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Top five least frequently stolen vehicles. I'll give you 10 as we're running out of time.
Right.
The Buick Encore is number five.
Well, because Buick is a piece of crap. I hate Buicks.
Oh, look at you.
Sorry, was that loud?
Yeah, that was really hostile.
Yeah, it was.
Number four, Chevy Equinox, kind of a hybrid car. You don't know what to do with it.
This sounds like something very from
outer
space.
Number three, Tesla Model X. Number two, Tesla Model S. Nobody wants to steal a computer.
Pretty easy to track, right?
Like, I wonder if they're tracking me. The thing's a computer.
And also the fact that they're so uncommon, they're easy to spot, right?
I don't know.
I'm probably giving too much credit to the thieves.
Yes, they're common depending on where you live. Here, they're everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
What I would say.
What about Guam?
Is any car that has an autopilot built in before the NTSA, NTSB, I'm sorry, gives you the green light?
Yeah.
That thing can probably drive home or drive you to the police station.
Yeah, and besides, if you steal it, Todd will beat you up.
And the BMW 3 Series 4-door.
Why? And that surprises me. That seems like a very stealable car.
I would think that car is more rare, the four-door of the three-door.
I see. Have you ever had your car stolen?
Let me think. I've had a lot of crappy cars. No, I haven't.
I was broken into.
Has happened, yes.
Yeah, I was broken into in Richmond because I lived in a crack neighborhood, which was nice. You could always tell when the sun was going down because the gunshots got more frequent. And on the parking deck at Union Station, came home from New York City one day, and they
shattered
driver's
window, side window, and
a rock in the car, which is nice. I kept that. And it was nice that he left a bracelet in there. It was a wooden beaded bracelet. And you know what? Sexist me. I just assumed it was a guy. Could have been a woman that stole my
car. How much time do I have?
You can do one more if you like.
One more, okay. Yeah. I like this.
Okay.
Hooters introduces Hooters Spirits, a line of premium spirits. You talk about a restaurant that's trying to reinvent themselves.
Sure. It's almost funny and quaint that Hooters is still around, isn't it?
It'd feel weird if it wasn't.
I don't know. It seems like a PG-13 movie. It's not one thing and it's not another.
Yeah, there's not enough of the one thing that they're really talking about there. That
the
trying
wings?
To sell. Exactly.
Yeah. Hooters Spirits, a line of high-quality spirits. They will include a premium array of vodka, gin, rum, tequila. American and cinnamon whiskey will be available at the Hooters restaurants.
Cinnamon whiskey, that's what I want. I'm going to give you some cinnamon whiskey.
That's starting this fall. Now, you may wonder, well, what's the deal? Well, look.
Oscar, what's the deal?
For me, I think that if you have your own spirits and you're selling it in your own restaurant, the margins are higher.
I would think so. And also, they can, as is the case with any Hooters operation, Oscar, this allows them to control the quality.
Oh, boy.
All I know is I got some of that Hooters gin. My martini had,
yes
a, and had
yes.
a hair in it.
Might be able to get a drink with this 1800 penny.
No flats in my wings. I want all drumsticks.
No flats.
That's right. And some cinnamon whiskey.
Hey, you got a penny over there? Or I got all?
I think you got them all. Count them. There should be 50.
I'm going to count them.
Yeah, you should.
Rob would go home and be like, look, Mom, look what I got. And they didn't even notice.
And she'll say, sell it, sell it.
That's who said sell it?
Sell it. And then buy tissues because you'll need it because you'll be crying. We're going to come back with an audio, but last
please.
Audio vault of the week. Woo! Thank you, Oscar, for your thing.
I'm counting pennies. Thank
That's,
you.
Yes, you are. And it's more this after that under here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Time now for a taste of the good life with Dirk Vastrick.
People often ask me about the best way to unwind.
Dirk.
I say with a drink, of
sure,
course.
From Hooters.
Nothing satisfies like an O'Meara Irish Manhattan. Add a couple of ice cubes to a tumbler and fill it with Irish whiskey. And add a splash of Luxardo liqueur and a splash of vermouth. Garnish with a Luxardo cherry and enjoy. Now kick back, relax, and enjoy while listening to The Mike O'Meara Show on the TMOS app. Cheers, Carla.
I always relax with an Irish Manhattan along with the TMOS app. Man, that's living. Back to you, Mike.
By the way, I've been listening to that promo. Splash seems heavy. Don't go with a splash. Go with just a touch.
Can I ask you a question?
I wish
it's
you would.
It's probably dumb, but fine.
Yes.
If I'm counting these pennies,
right,
and I'm literally picking them up and putting them down,
yeah,
because I just don't want any. I want to give them back to Charlie.
Of course,
full, right?
Right.
Am I a penny pincher?
Technically, yes.
Right.
I think you are.
Yeah.
And now every one of those pennies has a Me Too story. So sad. Sad. Sad.
That poor Native American.
Technically, I am, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I never knew I was a penny pincher.
This horrible pun brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Yes. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. It's the place where growing businesses... You know, a lot of people think I'd be jealous of him having that pun. I'm proud. It's the place where growing businesses connect with qualified candidates. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and they don't stop there. No, no. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so Oscar, you never miss a great match. And they are so effective. ZipRecruiter is so effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within the first day. That's 24 hours. So right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Remember, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. And this is your audio vault for Friday, 2 August 2019. Can you believe it's August already?
It's already August.
Oh, the summertime is flying by.
Time flies.
Christmas before you know it.
Yes.
Fruitcakes. So in the audio vault, do you remember the bird that sounded like the baby?
Yes.
And what happened with the bird that sounded like the baby, it was traveling around and doing like little bird shows, but because it was being transported in a pet carrier, when it screamed like a child, people thought this man had a baby in a cage, right?
Yes.
That was a reasonably good piece of audio. He's released another one. This bird, Nico, does not like to travel. Mm. This is the most current tape of the bird, Nico. And now Nico is crying and screaming and saying he's a good boy. If I heard this coming out of a cage, this would flip me out.
Nico, what's wrong?
It's a bird.
You're a good boy. What's wrong? You have a temper tantrum? Oh, Nico. You're a good boy, but you're only a girl. Good boy. Can we leave?
Is it me or is that literally upsetting?
That was Oscar at the card store when he was a little kid.
Yeah.
It is. And yeah. I want people to realize.
Kenya.
Wrinkly Wait Box. I want everyone to join me in not trusting birds. Please.
That's terrifying.
I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like it a bit.
Remember how we always say, oh, pony.
Yeah, pony. Right?
Pony. Uh-huh. So I just did a cursory search. Because I was like, I can't believe a 1900 penny.
Oh, the penny, the penny search?
Worth, what, 80 penny. Bucks, he said?
Mm-hmm.
Look what I found. You read this to America, please.
All right.
Let me, yeah, take the computer. Take your...
All right. United States penny 1900. $25,000. How about that? And not only that, Oscar, free shipping.
Ooh.
Now, granted... You want to act now. There's only one in stock. We have 50. I believe now is the time when I say act now.
Can you imagine?
Pony, what? And this one is not, this is not in good shape as the ones we look at. This is a beat up penny.
No, but that is far too good to be true. I don't believe that we have that exact penny. We probably have, that's most likely some like draped bust or whatever weird term they had on the website.
This looks just like our pennies.
Yep, except it's a little more beat up.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
There's more rubbing to
own. It's the wheat?
Yeah, the wheat.
Is that the wheat?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Well, that doesn't make it untrue.
I knew something was up. I was like, wait a second.
I'd like to replay a portion of today's show from earlier. Here it goes. Ready? It goes like this. They're like $14.
Okay, fine. It's worth $25,000.
No, I don't think
you want me to say. That's nice.
No, I'll say what
no
you want me
but
to say.
Look, for showmanship, right? For showmanship, you wouldn't be making it up if you were like 25. Think of, rewind the show. And if you were going to pick any number or any of these bids, what would have sounded so much cooler and more awesome for the possibility of it even being available? $8 or $25,000?
You know what? Coming from me,
yeah,
it's going to be the truth because that's more disappointing and fun.
This is the truth.
This is an internet site that has listed the penny at 25 grand.
It has one penny that they're selling for 25 grand, and it's probably some crazy guy who's been trying to sell that penny for as long as the internet has been around.
I know how we beat this guy at his own game.
Yes.
We list the 1900 penny for $24,999, and wait, buy one, get one free.
As
7 minute
as featured on the TMOS show. Okay.
So exactly.
So then we talked about like an 1803 penny, right?
Yeah, we got them all. Yeah. Hey, what year do you want? 1804,
there's
I got
another
it.
One here that says $1,300, right?
You see, that's funny. Pony, that would have been a good one too. How's the condition of it?
I think we could get $1.30 for that one penny. Look.
I went into my PayPal account and I saw $23,000. I'm sending you a penny.
When you see like $1.40 or $100,000, it's probably going to be $1.40.
Mm.
What if it's in the middle?
It's not in the middle. It's either one or the other. That's all I got.
These are absolute numbers.
That's right. There's no, we're not. Venmo me.
What if I gave Charlie the wrong number and he went out and bought a boat or something?
No, ruin his life. He's an adult. He would do what adults do. He would
save the receipt and return the boat.
Yeah. No, Mike buys boats and returns the boat.
I want one penny and one boat. And with the boat, I need a gift receipt. Let's say you're taking a taxi in New York City.
By the way, I don't think they're worth $25,000.
I don't either.
It would have been nice to hear that number.
Would have been fun. And fun is the best thing to have. but it's in short supply. It's as rare as one of those double-struck obverse pennies around here. The fun. Let's say you're in New York City, Oscar.
Yes.
I wish I was right now. Yes. And you're a taxi driver, and your lady gets you, and she's having a baby. I mean, she's literally having a baby. You see the baby coming out.
Yes.
Would you flip out, or do you keep calm? How do you think you would handle it?
I think we've heard enough stories about people delivering babies over the phone.
Yeah.
That you could probably get a helping hand in. Get involved.
This was so far along, he didn't even have a chance to get on the phone because it was happening.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to blur it, but there was a lot going
baby
on.
Baby popped out.
He handled it very calm. Check it out.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, but I also want you to hear what he says at the end of the tape. So please pay attention.
Oh, my gosh. He's coming out. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God.
You got to breathe, Mommy.
My head is in my hand. Oh, she's literally coming out.
Yeah, but you have to breathe.
He asked for an extra tip to wash the car.
The guy said, man, I'm broke. I didn't think this was going to happen.
Yes.
What? Look.
Mother and child doing well. I don't know that the Accord is okay. And I mean the Honda Accord,
hook
not
me
the,
up a little
the umbilical
for a car
Accord.
Wash. I gotta get all this placenta off my seat.
That's right. That's
I just looked it up. That baby is worth $200,000.
That's awesome.
We would have the worst pawn shop in America. We would literally buy things at people's face value. Like, I know, I think it's worth $300,000. All right.
Get the checkbook.
The opposite of what Pawn Stars does is what we did.
Exactly. We'd be broke in a minute.
Yes.
Let's say you get taken to the drunk tank. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been locked up for intoxication.
No.
But I've heard it's not great.
Mm.
That's what I've heard.
True story.
But if you have your accordion and you're in Russia, what do? They give you lemons, you make lemonade. This is trending in Russia right now. It's a guy that got locked up drinking public intoxication. He's in the jail cell with an accordion.
That's amazing.
Having a great time.
Yeah, you gotta live it up, man. Yeah. You're stuck. You got an instrument playing.
And the good news is Weird Al has rescheduled all of his shows and will honor the original tickets. That's your Magic Audio Vault. That wasn't Weird Al Yankovic. Woo! He's not in Russia. I want to thank Charlie Burney for coming by. It was fun.
Oh, you're a Weird Al super fan, right?
I love Weird Al, yeah. I've never seen him in concert, but I do like him very much.
There, I met a guy last week that has a never-before-heard Weird Al album.
Like an unreleased deal?
Unreleased, and it may never be released because the rights were never signed.
That's one thing that's funny about Weird Al is that he does get personal permission from all the artists. And I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been Eminem, and he asked for rights for a song, and Eminem's only reply was, it's not about food, is it? I thought it was funny. That's it, folks. Thanks for joining us for another perfect episode of TMOS. Again, our thanks to Charlie Burney.
Yes, thank you, sir.
A leading numismatist.
What's that?
Coin collector.
Huh?
Don't forget, you can always reach us 24/7 at the TMOS Yak Shack.
It's not about food,
right? It's not about food. No, Marshall, it's not. Just dial up 1-888-920-MORE. That's 1-888-923-6673. Messages for the weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOmeraShow.com.
You just pulled a Biden.
I did. Mm-hmm. There was a glare on the plastic sheet. Just send it to Joe. Send it to Joe. Our mailing address is Joe. P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Please send us things. A few tickets are available for the Saturday Vegas show, and it's now time to pre-order your fruitcakes. Do it this weekend. Both are available at MikeOmeraShow.com. Thank you for listening, and join us again on Monday for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. For Mike O'Mara and Oscar Santana, this is Rob Spiewak saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmeraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Thank God it's Friday!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.